Christ is risen. He's alive. Death could not hold him in the grave. I'm so glad you joined us for Easter. I love Easter. Easter is a holiday of hope. It's the hope that we don't have to live just with the wrong and the pain and the disappointment of life, that there's hope for something better, something greater. Easter reminds us that we're not stuck in our messes. We're not stuck in the bad news that's a part of our life. Easter shouts good news. It's God saying over and over to us again that he is alive, that he gives life to all, that he gives fresh starts, a clean start for all of us. That's the hope that we have because of Easter. But you know, to really grasp the good news, to really understand how much we need good news, we also have to understand how bad the bad news is. And so today we're actually going to start with the bad news. Now, it's Easter, so we're not going to stay with the bad news. But that's where we're going to start, because that's the Easter story. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to tell the Easter story. If you want to see where it's at in the Bible, it's found in Luke chapter 23, also goes into chapter 24. But I'm going to tell most of that story to us as we begin to see it unfold and really celebrate what this story is all about. So the story takes place on a hill. The hill's just outside of Jerusalem. And the hill itself, the name they gave the hill, is actually a description of bad news. You see, the name that they gave the hill was Golgotha. Now, that's an Aramaic word. That's the language that Jesus and his disciples and the people of that day spoke in Jerusalem. Golgotha means the skull. They called this hill the skull. And the Roman soldiers who were executing Jesus and the other criminals that day, they spoke a language called Latin. And they called that hill Calvary, which also means the skull. And so on this hill, there are three crosses. Three men are being executed. And I believe that this picture of Golgotha is actually a picture of our spiritual life. Jesus is the man in the middle. And on each side of him is a criminal. The word that's used to describe their crime is that they could have been thieves, they could have been rebels. They were criminals that had committed one of these crimes, either theft or they were rebelling against the religious establishment or the Roman government, and they were all going to face certain death. I believe it was no accident that Jesus was placed in the middle. Because Jesus in the middle, he could provide help and hope to those criminals who were on each side of him. Only Jesus, the Son of God, can bring hope and help. Only Jesus can take the bad news and transform it into good news. And so here are these two criminals. I believe that these criminals represent us. Again, what we have here is a spiritual picture of our lives. Those criminals represent us in the sense that we've all done wrong. We've all committed spiritual crimes. Now maybe we didn't commit the same exact crimes that those two men did that were crucified on each side of Jesus. Maybe some of ours are worse. Maybe not as severe. But here's the fact. The fact is that we are all spiritually criminal. We've all stolen from God. We've stolen the respect and the honor that is due him. Now, maybe there are times we've given him the honor and respect he's due, but then there have been those times we haven't. We've all, at times, rebelled against God. We've all said, no, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. We've all been in that place. We've all done things that were wrong. We've hurt somebody. We've all done or said things that we regret, that we wish we hadn't done or said. We've all fallen short. Even many of us who are decent people, we've all fallen short of God's perfection. And God's perfection is described as that which is pure, that which is absolutely clean. And yet, all of us are unclean. All of us, including me. And you're going, let's hear a little bit about that. Wouldn't that make for some interesting conversations over breakfast or lunch? Yeah, I'll let you all go first. My point, we're all sinners. We're all spiritually criminal in some way. That's why we're very much like those two that were crucified next to Jesus. None of us are good enough on our own to fix our mess, to clean ourselves up, so to speak, to escape the hill called the skull, because we are all guilty. We'll all die. And that's the bad news. That's our spiritual reality. And I'm not saying these things to shame us. That's not the purpose of talking about this. And the purpose of this isn't to create fear in us. That's not helpful, actually. Rather, we just have to be honest about our spiritual condition. We can't fool ourselves. We can't tell ourselves, oh, we're good enough. We're not good enough. Or that we can fix whatever problems we've created. We can't fix our own spiritual problems alone. We need help, because we're unclean before God. And since these criminals represent us, let's look at how they responded to Jesus. The first criminal crucified next to Jesus was angry. And out of his anger, he actually mocks Jesus. And he, you know, when you're being crucified, one of the challenges of being crucified is not only the excruciating pain, but it's actually really hard to breathe, so you can't talk a lot. But he, in his short breath that he has, he says, "You think you're the Messiah?" That's what he says to Jesus. "Then save yourself and save us too." We get it. We get his anger. There have been times we've been angry at God. When we've been in trouble, when we've been in a mess, and we just want God to fix it and get us out of our trouble as quickly as possible. And if it doesn't happen quickly, we can go to this place of anger so easily. It's easy for all of us to focus primarily on the trouble that we're in right now and the situation we're in, and we just want to get out of it. But I want to suggest that this criminal's real need was something even far greater than just getting off the cross, because his real need concerns his spiritual condition, but he's not able to see it at all. And that's true sometimes of us. We just can't see that our real need is a spiritual need. All this criminal wants is for God to fix his mess. What he really needs is a clean slate, a clean heart. See, it's only when our slate is clean that we'll know we're gonna be able to see God. That was true for that criminal, that's true for us. It's only as we have a clean slate we'll be able to see God. This criminal's life is just about over. He only has maybe a few hours of life left, and he needs to be far more concerned about his eternity than just being able to get free from this cross. The second criminal, on the other side of Jesus, he knows who Jesus is. He even declares, Jesus is innocent. He's done nothing wrong. We have, but he's done nothing wrong. He knows he's the Messiah. He knows that Jesus is the Son of God. And here this criminal is, he knows that he's guilty. And he's getting the just response to the crimes that he's committed. And what he wants more than anything right now is a clean slate. A clean slate before God so that he will be able to see God. The second criminal's able to look past the immediate difficulty he's facing to see something far more important, something far bigger. He knows that there's something greater than his immediate predicament. And so he too asked Jesus for something, not to get off the cross, but he asked for forgiveness, a clean slate, so that he can see God in heaven. And so that's what we see on this hill. We see this spiritual picture. A man on each side of Jesus, guilty for their sin, for their crimes, they're unclean. And the man in the middle, Jesus, who's innocent, perfect, the Son of God, clean. Now, for both of those criminals, as this story is going, there's still time. They're not dead yet. And as long as we're not dead, we're not done. As long as we are not dead, we still have the opportunity to ask for a clean slate and to change how our story ends. That was true for those criminals. That's true for us. And we know that all three on that hill died, all three of them. And what was the condition in which they died? Well, that angry criminal, that first one, he died in his sin. Criminal number one died in his sin. He never admitted his guilt. He just stayed angry. He was guilty. He rejected Jesus. He died in his sin. And that means he's not going to get to see God. The second criminal, he died to his sin. Now, what I mean by that phrase is that this second criminal died to his sin, meaning he died wanting to move past that, that he didn't want to stay in that. He died to it so that he could move on. He wanted a clean slate. He wanted a clean start. He wanted the forgiveness of God so that he could see God. And then the man in the middle, he died for our sins. Jesus died for our sin, that we can have the absolute, full, and complete forgiveness of God, that clean slate that I've been talking about. And that's what we really need. That's what we really need. Easter gives us what we really need: a clean slate and a clean start. That's the good news. A clean slate so that we can see God. But here's the critical question. How do we get clean? How do we get a clean slate? How do we get rid of the stains of sin in our life?
The boy always dreaded taking the garbage out because the smell was so bad. Except when Dad had filled the oil bucket with enough oil changes, then the smell of that sick, sweet smell would just fill the room and overwhelmed everything else. He'd always said, "Stay away, it'll get on you, don't touch it. It makes a mess, it'll get on everything, it'll ruin it." Something about the smell today just called out to him. He couldn't help himself. As he looked in, he just saw everything he wanted in that, to be like Dad, to have this. He just wanted to know what it was like to be in it. His heart pounding, Dad's warnings fading away, he just plunged his hands into it. Oh, it's so cool and slimy. Oh, it's so sludgy and awesome. And then it wasn't awesome. And then it's a mess. And it doesn't come off. Dad was so right. It doesn't come off. It gets everywhere. The rubbing's not working, and wiping's not working. It's not coming off. Needs something more, something to get it. A towel would be, this is way too small. A towel's not gonna work. It's just making it worse. It's just ruining this too. An idea comes to mind. Go to the bathroom, try soap and water, and soap and water just seems to get it everywhere else. And it's on the floor now. It's on the sink and the tub and the mom's shower curtain. It's the more cleaning, the more mess. It's just spreading it. Dad was so right. There's only one way to fix it now. Dad? Dad? With the creak of the couch, it seems to rip his heart in half as he knows what Dad's gonna say when he comes in and sees this mess. He knows what he's gonna say. Every footstep coming down the hallway seems to just stamp his guilt. As his dad walks through the door, Words don't even come, nothing but sobs and tears. Can't even open his eyes to look at him. And then he feels his hand on his shoulder, not angry, but gentle. Without a word, Dad takes him by the hand and leads him into the kitchen. As he pulls out the big bottle, the orange-scented soap starts to overwhelm the smell of the oil. And as they wash together in the gritty soap, this mess washes away clean into the sink. Sin makes an ungodly mess of us. It ruins us, it stains us, it gets on everything and everyone around us. And the more we do to clean it and cover it up, the worse it gets. But Jesus has stronger stuff to make us clean. In just a moment, the ushers are going to come forward with communion. You're going to take a little cracker and a cup off the tray and pass it. And on the day that Jesus was betrayed, the night before he was crucified, he took a bread like that. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Do these things in remembrance of me." It's a new covenant, a new agreement to make us clean. When we cry out to our Father in his name, he makes us clean. Jesus has that stronger stuff. And he alone can make us clean. Will you pray with me? Father, I've made a mess of me. We all have. And the more I try to cover it up, the uglier and messier it gets. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for this blessing of Easter that our debts are paid, that it's finished, and that we can remember this and be clean as we cry out to you, our Father. You receive us with grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
We saw portrayed that sin is like oil. Man, it's hard to get off of us. The harder we try, we can't hide it. It's everywhere. And we try to clean it ourselves, and it just makes things worse. And that's exactly what sin is. We need help. All of our effort, all of our goodness isn't going to remove the stain of sin in our lives. It just isn't. We're not good enough and we're not clever enough. We need help. We saw the young man. He tried to clean himself. He failed. He asked for help. Our Heavenly Father provides the help we need. He gave us Jesus. And Jesus is the stronger stuff that removes the stains of sin from our life. He's the one that we need. Jesus is the man in the middle on that hill who died to forgive us our sins, all of our sins. And we have that forgiveness when we begin by believing in Him. We trust Him. We believe that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, who died as the sacrifice for our sins. We believe that. We ask Jesus for a clean slate, to have a clean slate before God. But that's only half the good news. A critical part of the good news, but that's only half of the good news. Beyond a clean slate, we also need a fresh beginning, a new beginning. And that's the message of Easter. Easter gives us what we really need, a clean slate and a clean start. See, the Easter story begins as bad news. We saw that Jesus died that he was put into a grave and he was in that grave 3 days. But the bad news was transformed into good news when God raised Jesus from the dead. He raised him and he's alive and he's living now. Death could not hold Jesus. And that's a fact and a reality and a hope that we hold on to, because just as Jesus has a new, fresh beginning, so we too, who have a clean slate, also get a fresh, new beginning. And we see that in that second criminal who was crucified next to Jesus. You see, before that criminal died, he made a request. I want to read it from Luke chapter 23. It's page 498 in the Bibles on the seats in front of you. And turn on your device or open your Bible as we look at this. By the way, if you need a Bible or you know somebody who needs a Bible, we would love for you to take one of those Bibles there in the seats and use that or give that away. We'd love that. It's our gift to you. And so here we are in Luke chapter 23, verse 42. This second criminal, he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The request that that second criminal made is he wants a clean slate. He wants to be forgiven so that he can see God. And Jesus responds and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in heaven. I'm giving you a clean slate. I'm giving you a clean start." That's the story of Easter. And only the living Jesus can make that possible. And that's why God raised him from the dead. That's the story of Easter. And as long as you and I are alive, we can make that same request. We can ask Jesus for a clean slate and a clean start and a life that will never, ever end. That's the good news. Your personal good news begins the very moment you make the decision that you want to follow Jesus the rest of your life. The very moment that you ask Jesus for a clean slate and a clean start, a fresh start. And what that means is that we trust Jesus. We trust that he is who he says he is. He's the Son of God. That we trust that his ways are right and good. And then we make the decision to follow him and follow his way through all of life. And that doesn't mean that we'll never face challenges in our lives. We will, but now we have guidance to lead us through that. And we never have to fear death, because the promise made to us is that we will be with him in paradise, that we will have life that will never end with God in heaven. And so how do we begin our personal good news story? We begin by believing in Jesus, the Son of God, who can give us a clean slate, whose stuff is stronger. He's the stronger stuff who can give us that clean slate. The living Jesus who can give us a clean start and the hope and the confidence and the promise of life that will never end. As long as we're still alive, we can make that decision. And then when we make that decision, then we make the promise to follow Jesus in a thing called baptism. Jesus and then his disciples later ask us to be baptized, because in baptism we make a promise. The promise is that we are going to follow Jesus. Not perfectly, but we're promising to follow him to the best of our ability all the days of our lives. And baptism is also a picture. It's a picture of the very thing we've been talking about, the death, burial, and resurrection. And not just of Jesus, but the person being baptized. It's a picture of their own death, burial, and resurrection. You see, a person stands in the water, and they're going to do just like that second criminal. They're going to die to their sin. They're going to die to their old way of life. "I'm done with my old way of life." And then they're buried in water, buried with Christ, coming out of the water to begin this fresh new life, a clean start with a clean slate. That's what baptism pictures, this death, burial, our personal death, burial, and resurrection. And today we're going to have an opportunity for people to be baptized. We're going to have an opportunity to be washed in a symbolic way so that we have that clean start with a clean slate. It's an opportunity for a person to declare that they want to follow Jesus the rest of their life. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing a few songs. And while we're singing those, we'll be standing. And as we're standing, I want to invite you to come down front if you want to be baptized. I'll meet you here, and we have people here to help you. If you're not familiar with how we do things here, we have everything that you need. In back of the stage, there's our private changing rooms. We have clothes to be baptized in, towels, even blow dryers. Okay, so you can look okay afterwards, you know. And some of you are saying, yeah, but it's Easter. I can't think of a better day to be baptized than Easter. Every Easter going forward, as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, you'll remember this was the day that you began your personal good news story. And don't worry about what others think. Do what you know you want to do, what you need to do. And so I want us to stand right now. And as we sing, if you're ready to be baptized, just come on down here. I'll meet you down here. We'll have some people that'll meet you down here. Now, here's how this is going to work. Well, as we're singing, you're going to see people above me being baptized in the baptistry. And we're going to keep singing. And they'll have already made their confession of faith in the back. And we're going to see them baptized. And just as you see them baptized, celebrate, clap while we're singing. You see, what we're going to see is Easter in action. Easter gives us everything we really need. Easter gives us everything we really need, a clean slate and a clean start. Come on down.